this in the mitzvah of Tcheles. We discussed the Makar. And the most important and essential piece of information that we were discussing was that the Psak l'halacha is that although there's a machlokes tanoim about if Tcheles is ma'akev es halavan or lavan is ma'akev es Tcheles, we pask in the halacha l'maisa that ein Tcheles ma'akev es halavan ve'ein lavan ma'akev es Tcheles. That basically all you need is just white strings, or you can have is blue strings, but your tzitzis are kosher even though you're not wearing white and blue strings. Okay, if you just have white strings, you're fine. So, so of course then the question begs, if your tzitzis are kosher with just white strings, as we've been doing for many centuries, so why in the world is it so important to have tcheles? I mean, it's not. I mean, it's mentioned in the Torah, but why do you need tcheles? What is the significance of the tcheles? So to understand this a little bit more properly, it's kedai to bring down the following. There is a commentary authored by Rav Daniel HaBavli. He is brought down by Rav Avraham ben Harambam. Rav Avraham ben Harambam was the son of the Rambam, and he wrote Sfarim. He was a Rav. He was the next generation of Rav in Egypt after the Rambam. Very distinguished posek and rabbi, and he recorded a lot of the Rambam's writings, justified and defended the Rambam in a lot of ways, and he brings down some of the questions that were asked against the Rambam and some of his responses to the people who were challenging his father. So one of the issues that came up was the question of tzitzis and tcheles. Rav Daniel HaBavli asked the following question. He said, I don't understand the Rambam's position. On the one hand, when the Rambam talks about the mitzvah of tefillin, and he talks about the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh, so the Rambam counts them as two separate mitzvahs. Okay, tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh are counted as two separate mitzvahs. So even though you have this mitzvah called tefillin, and it has multiple components, and one could have argued that these multiple components are all fused into one mitzvah, the Rambam says, no, tefillin shel yad is one mitzvah, tefillin shel rosh is another mitzvah. Fine. Then Rav Daniel Bavli says, but on the other hand, the Rambam, when he also talks about another mitzvah that has multiple components, what mitzvah? Arba minim. How many components? Four. Mike. Who is Rabbi Shubinun's father? Okay, so Arba Minim has four components to it, and yet the Rambam counts it as one mitzvah. What's going on? So Rav Daniel Bavli says, you don't have to tell, I can give you pshat. I can explain to you. It makes a lot of sense to me. The Rambam himself talks about this in the Shorashim. The Rambam says tefillin, which we say the yad, tefillin shel yad is not ma'akev the tefillin shel rosh, and the tefillin shel rosh is not ma'akev the tefillin shel yad. You can, if you for some reason you don't have tefillin shel rosh, theoretically you can fulfill the mitzvah just with tefillin shel yad, and similarly the other way around, if you didn't have tefillin shel yad, you can fulfill the mitzvah with tefillin shel rosh. So therefore the Rambam says you count each one separately as a separate mitzvah. But Masha Enkein Arba Minim, what happens if you show it, you know, if you want to take three Minim? You want to take the Lulav, the Esrog, and the Hadassim, but no Aravos. What do you have? You have nothing. You have nothing. So basically, since all the components are Ma'akvin Zetzeh, so the Rambam says that it's one mitzvah. Okay, I can understand all that. So Rav Dani HaBavli then says, but we paskin that ein lavon ma'akev es ha-tcheles, ein tcheles ma'akev es ha-lavon. Right, tzitzis has two components to it. It has the tzitzis and it has the tcheles. And if I have just the white tzitzis, I'm yotze. I don't need the yitcheles. And I have just tcheles tzitzis and no lavan. I'm also yotze. And yet the Rambam, how does he count the mitzvah of tzitzis and tcheles? He counts it as one mitzvah. What's pshat? How come he counts it just as one mitzvah? It's according to the svar of the Rambam, tzitzis and tcheles are like what mitzvah? Apparently, what should it be like? Tefillin. It should be like tefillin. Just like tefillin shayad is not makiv as tefillin shavosh. Just like tefillin shavosh is not makiv as tefillin shayad. He count them as two separate mitzvahs. So tzitzis and tcheles also should be separate, you know, two separate mitzvahs. And yet the Rambam counts it as one. What's pshat? That's his kasha on the Rambam. Good kasha. No? This is a very good kasha. So Rav Avram ben HaRambam defends his father and gives the following interpretation. He says that there's something that Rav Dani HaBavli is missing. Rav Dani HaBavli was assuming in his question that tzitzis and tcheles were basically the same thing. They were parallel to tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. And Rav Avram ben Rambam said that is not correct. The difference is that tcheles, when you put on tzitzis with tcheles, you're doing the mitzvah b'shleimuso. If you put on tzitzis without tcheles, if you put on lavan without tcheles, it's true you get the mitzvah, but you're not doing the mitzvah b'shleimuso. So in other words, tcheles is being ma'akev the mitzvah a little bit, but not entirely. You do get the mitzvah, but it's not the mitzvah b'shleimuso. Okay, the mitzvah is only b'di'evet. But you get it. You get the mitzvah of tzitzis when you just wear lavan, but only with the other. It's not bishlei musa.
Does tcheles mean like a full mitzvah?
The full mitzvah. The full mitzvah. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to do the mitzvah of tzitzis.
Okay, so tcheles is the same thing as
well, yeah. This is the way we're supposed to do this.
Partial.
Yeah. Right. I mean, without it, you get the mitzvah, but it's not the full mitzvah. Now, you have a question?
Yeah, I wanted to explain otherwise that you're doing the mitzvah, but you're just not doing it as well. Meaning, it's still you're still totally with the mitzvah, not like
you got the mitzvah. Sure, yeah.
That's b'di'evet.
Yeah.
You're not doing as well as you could. Meaning, there's no chiyuv mitzvah b'di'evet.
Sorry.
Saying if you did a sukkah without hiddah, do you think it's also b'di'evet kasha?
No, we're talking. This is a different case. This is where you get the mitzvah, but not b'shleimuso. This mitzvah has added dimensions to it that should be fulfilled along with it. It's not an added. It's not an additional added level that's a separate and independent shlav like hiddur mitzvah. It's not hiddur mitzvah. This is part of the mitzvah of tefillin. Integrated within tefillin is this shlemus, hashlamus hamitzvah. And we're doing it without the hashlamus mitzvah. So therefore, since there is some ikuv of the mitzvah, so therefore the Rambam counts it as one mitzvah and not two separate mitzvahs. So far, so good. Okay, now that we know this, and this is pretty much accepted by the Gedolei Achronim. So based on this, the Beis Halevi comes up with a reason that we should wear tcheles if it's available. He argues as follows. He says, I want to understand how a person can violate Baal Tosef and Baal Tigra. Baal Tosef, the truth is the Beis Halevi is more understandable how you can violate Baal Tosef. Right, you do an additional parts to the mitzvah. For example, let's say you put on tzitzis on five kanfos. So you have, let's say, a five cornered garment, and you put on five kanfos. So you put on added more strings than necessary, many more strings. There's a whole debate about how much. The Mishnah Berurah has a discussion about this. But at some point in time, by doing more, you're going to violate Baal Tosef. But the real mystery is how do you violate Baal Tigra? If I have an arba kanfos and I put on tzitzis on three out of the four corners, did I violate Baal Tigra? Baal Tikva means don't remove, don't reduce the mitzvos. Baal Tosef means don't add to the mitzvos. So if I have a four-cornered garment and I put tzitzis on three out of the four, what would you say? Did I violate Baal Tikva here? No, but more precisely, what did I violate? Right, I'm not wearing tzitzis. It's not tzitzis anymore, and therefore I'm violating the mitzvah. I'm a mevatel and mitzvah say of tzitzis. Yeah, if you're wearing four kanfos, you need tzitzis on all four kanfos. If you don't do that, you violate the mevatel mitzvah say when you wear the arba kanfos. Let's say I have arba minim, and instead of doing arba, I do shalosh. Did I violate Baal Tikva? Huh? No, I didn't. So when do you violate Baal Tikva? When does that happen? So the Beis Halevi quotes a Rashba that says as follows. If you look in the Mishnayos in Maseches Zvachim, so they talk about the din of Zrikas Hadam, that with many of the Karbonos, he's supposed to be Zorek Dam on four of the Karnos HaMizbeach, on the four corners of the Mizbeach. But the din is in the Mishnah that if you only did one, let's say you didn't have enough blood, you ran out, okay, or something happened, there's some onus, and you can only do one keren of the Mizbeach. You can only sprinkle on one corner of the Mizbeach. Do you get the mitzvah of Zrikas Hadam? So the Mishnayos and Zvachim say, yes, you do. But the Eved, you got the mitzvah. But, says the Mishnah, if you do that lechatchila, I sprinkle only on one corner, when I could have done on all four, but I only do it on one corner, then I violate Baal Tikva. In other words, if you do a mitzvah, says the Rashba, if you do mitzvah lechatchila in a b'dieved way, okay, in other words, you have a mitzvah in front of you, you could do it in a lechatchila way, or you can do it b'dieved way. And you go ahead and, you know, you could have done it lechatchila, and you instead go ahead and on purpose do it in a b'dieved fashion. That is Baal Tikva. So the Beis Halevi extrapolates from that, and he says, well, based on what we understand from the from Rav Ben Harambam, you see that whenever you have a mitzvah, that the other components are not ma'akev the mitzvah entirely, but only partially. So if you do the minimum, if you do only the smallest amount in the mitzvah, then, and if you do that lechatchila, then you violate Baal Tikva. Okay? If you put on a tefillin shel yad on purpose only, and not the tefillin shel rosh, so that's not Baal Tikva, because the tefillin shel rosh is not ma'akev the tefillin shel yad. Okay? and if you dafka took three out of the four minim for the felulav, so also it's not Baal Tikva, because when you take only three or one of the four, you get nothing. There's nothing there. There's no mitzvah. The only time Baal Tikva will occur is when you do one of them, when you do one of the components, you get the mitzvah, but not b'shlemuso. And if you do that on purpose, then it's Baal Tikva. So the Beis Halevi says, therefore, one on purpose puts on tzitzis and only wears lavan, and he could have had tcheles, he violates Baal Tikva. That's what the Beis Halevi says, based on that Rashba. So now what we basically introduced is the pressure and the urgency of the matter of tcheles. Because if we do have tcheles, now the question that everyone faces is, wait a second, if we do have tcheles, so then, and we're only putting on lavan lechatchila, what are we facing? A violation of Baal Tikva. Okay, that now it sort of paints the picture in a whole new perspective. Yeah? If you violate Baal Tikva, right? That's a good question. It sounds like you would get the mitzvah just to violate Baal Tikva. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like the only way you get Baal Tikva is you do get the mitzvah, but with a violation. Yeah.
Didn't the Beis Halevi specifically say when you lose Masana, you don't have the right to?
Oh yeah, we'll get there. He didn't say that. Therefore, you should put on Amutat Tzil Tcheles. He's only saying that if we had it available and we considered it tcheles, then you would have to put it on. Yeah, Izzy. Yeah.
If somebody chooses to deliberately come to shul in the morning late so that he has to skip, does his bar
You mean he deliberately does it? Yeah. I don't think it's no. Because first of all, mitzvah d'oraisa, you have to talk about a mitzvah d'oraisa, right? For Baal Tigra. So Baal Tigra would be the only mitzvah d'oraisa you talk about is either Kriya Shema or Shemona Esrei, according to the Rambam. Okay, unless it's an Eis Tzara, and then you have the Ramban. And according to the Rambam, the three components of Shemona Esrei, Shevach, Bakash, and Hodah. And presumably, you don't get the mitzvah of Shemona Esrei if you just do Shevach and Bakasha in Hodah. It sounds like you need all of them. Think. That'd be an interesting question, but it seems that that's the definition of tefillah, of Shevach, Bakash, and Hodah. So I don't know. No. Yeah, so technically, you wouldn't get a Baal Tigra. Maybe some other problems, but not Baal Tigra. Yeah. Yeah.
But isn't there not consensus that we have to get out today?
So we're going to talk about that.
So the same possible concept of saying Kriya Shema not at its proper time, if you could.
There's the chatchila, a person says Kriya Shema shelo. Yeah, but there it doesn't. You don't really get the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. You just get it's like Kikari B'Torah.
I thought there was a concept you get the mitzvah, but not the mitzvah of Zman.
Yeah.
That's the concept you get the mitzvah, but not the mitzvah of Zman.
No, the mitzvah b'zman, you're talking about the birchas Kriya Shema.
No, it's Kriya
Shema. No, they're different dargas. There's a mitzvah of Kriya Shema d'oraisa, right? And then there's also the birchas Kriya Shema.
You say that the Shema itself after.
No, I don't know if it's about to. The truth is, you know what? Let's say like this. Maybe I shouldn't be so quick. Rav Lichtenstein is of the belief, I'm pretty sure in the name of the Rav, that he felt that the Birchas Kriya Shema were part of the Kriya Shema. So if a person would say Kriya Shema, if you do that lechatchila, cutting out the Birchas Kriya Shema, then maybe that would be Baal Tigra, according to that approach.
Well, like if you'd have a mob at night too early, you have to be focused Kriya Shema,
No, that's not. I understand, but but you're getting the mitzvah. Where are you losing the mitzvah?
You do bismala.
Huh?
You did it too early, and you have to teach it later on. Most men, for all minions, you daven off too early, and you have to later on.
Right. So you're doing Kriya Shema.
And the brachos at the wrong time.
But in the end, of it, again, I don't understand. The Kriya Shema wasn't. You don't get the mitzvah of Kriya Shema at all. Right? So you're saying you're just davening.
Okay, fine. You're just davening. Okay.
Right? Where you didn't...
Yeah.
Right?
Just, could you clarify the questions that have just been asked a bunch of...
The Shachris one is a good point. That's a fair...
Is, if you're Mevatel on this, what I say entirely, are you also over on Baal Tigra?
No, that's what right. That's the thing. That was the tough... that's what Baal Tosef was...
If you don't daven, then you're just Mevatel on this, what I say, and you're not over on...
If a person would not say Kriya Shema at all, so he'd mevatel the mitzvah as I said. So the possibility, but the question is, this is the question. If you buy into Birchas Kriya Shema being totally part, of the Kriya Shema, or an important part of Kriya Shema,
so
and then a person l'chatchila does it, shelo bizmana, so then it could be that it's Baal Tigra.
So it's defined as...
That's an interesting...
Baal Tigra is defined as if you... You decide to do a mitzvah, but you decide to leave out parts of it.
Right. Correct. So again, that's why that if you assume that the tchelas of... if you assume that we have the tchelas, then... And you don't put it, on, then you face this Baal Tigra. The big question is, do we have the tchelas? That's the big question. Okay. So now we have the question: do we have tchelas? That's really the question, right? If we can, if we demonstrate that we have tchelas, then what's every one of us going to have to do?
Go buy
tchelas. I mean, unless you can't afford it, unless you really can't afford it. I mean, if you go to a restaurant, you buy one meal in a nice restaurant, that's what it costs, pretty much. So, do we have tchelas? Okay, so let's start with the following. It seems from the Mishnayos and from the Gemara that during that time period we did have tcheles, and it even seems that we had tcheles from the early times of the Gaonim. But around the year 700, 800 or so, that's when tcheles seems to have disappeared off the map. Okay, in terms of practice, people actually practicing wearing tcheles seem to have disappeared around the year 700, 800. What? The common era. Yeah. The and then basically the discussion and basically the recovery of tcheles didn't reoccur until about the 1800s. Okay, where Gedolei Achronim started talking about the sense of maybe the Geula is on the way. There were different events in world history, in Jewish history, that people began to think maybe we're at the pros of the Geula. And in order to bring the Geula, they felt it was possible that we would have to prepare the ground, or at least we should be ready immediately to meet the Geula. And one of the things that were required is tcheles. Why would you need tcheles for the Geula? For the Big Day Kahuna. The Big Day Kahuna have tcheles on them, and you would need tcheles in the Big Day Kahuna. Why is it important for the Kohanim to wear the Big Day Kahuna to do the Avoda? Right? So they would need the tcheles. Okay, so then there was some research that was going to be done, and the question came up as follows. Number one, what are the components, what do you need to have tcheles? Do you actually need the chilazon, which is mentioned, the Gemara talks about this in Menachos, the Gemara says that how would they make tcheles? They would use a chilazon. We don't know, we'll leave the chilazon's definition as a question mark just for now. But they would take a chilazon, and they would take the secretions from the chilazon, and from that they would make tcheles. But the question is, was the Gemara telling us that that's the only way to make tcheles? Or was the Gemara telling us that was just the way they made tcheles? But if you find some other fashion of making a blue dye that adheres, because that's another factor, it's another component of tcheles, according to the Gemara, tcheles had a quality that it would adhere. So maybe if I can find some other type of blue, well, let's call it tcheles, I'm sorry. If you find some type of tcheles that adheres, so you're okay. Okay. Now, what is tcheles? If we're talking about colors, what is tcheles? So the Gemara talks about that it's dom eliyam, dom elirukia, right? When you look at the tcheles, you begin to think of the rukia, the sky. What color is the sky? Blue. Okay. What color blue? If you would order paint, okay, let's say you go to a paint company, and you would say to them, "Please send me some swatches, a color chart of blues." What range would you get of blue? Right, like from here, you get so many different types of blue. Right, so it's not so basically, if you look at Rishonim, you see different types of blues. The Rambam seems to be talking about a darker blue, Rashi about a lighter blue. It's some type of blue, but there's a range of colors. Not 100% clear what that color is, but in any event, the question. So that's one question: what is the precise color? Second question is: does it have to be from the chilazon? When you look in the Rambam actually does not say that it has to be from the chilazon. He never says that. And there were gedolei achronim who took the approach that you don't, according to the Rambam, you don't really need a chilazon. Just find something else that adheres, and you're safe. They wanted to say that perhaps for Big Day Kahuna, though, there's a bit of a debate. Maybe for Big Day Kahuna specifically, I think the Prima Gadim talks about this, that maybe for Big Day Kahuna, you would dafka need from the chilazon. But tcheles, for tzitzis, not. Okay, that seems to be a little bit more of a question. On the other hand, many, many other Rishonim, like the Baal Yatosfos and Chachmi Ashkenaz, took the approach that you definitely do need specifically the Chilazon. And in trying to adopt this, the approach of Poskim was, listen, you know, we see that it's possible to interpret the Rambam as saying that you don't need the Chilazon. But you have many Rishonim who do, and there's so much at stake. So we're not going to be makel on this. We're going to take the Mamachmi approach, and we're going to assume that you need the Chilazon. So therefore, what has become paramount? Right? What is the Chilazon? So when you look in Chazal, the Chazal basically gives you a very difficult time because there are contradictory statements in Chazal and Rishonim in terms of defining the Chilazon. And there's no way in the world you can be Yotze the Chol Hadeos because they are mutually exclusive. So I guess the only way you can be Yotze the Chol Hadeos is if you take all of them and wear many begadim of tzitzis. I mean, I guess, but to be fair, that'd probably be the way to do it. But you can't get one pair and be Yotze the Chol Hadeos. So just for example, you find in some Rishonim saying that the Chilazon is something that's in the water. And others will say something it's something you find on dry land up in the mountains. You'll find some Rishonim talking about the secretions. It sounds like from the Rambam this way, that the secretions that you eventually will convert into a blue dye, the secretions were black. And others say, no, the secretions were clear. And others say the secretions were blue. There in the Gemara, it talks about how it's briyoso doma ledag. It looks like a fish, or has its briyoso. What does that mean? It's not 100% clear. Some say briyoso means the way that it the way that it multiplies is like a fish, that it lays eggs and then it's fertilized in the ocean. And others say briyoso doma ledag means it looks like a fish. There seems to be indication in Chazal from the Gemara on Shabbos that says that you would violate malacha on Shabbos by breaking through the chilazon in order to get to the secretions inside. So it sounds like there's a hardened shell from this. But other Rishonim say it doesn't mean a hardened shell; it means penetrating through a soft thing. So again, there's a bit of a debate about that. There are more agadic passages in the Gemara that talk about where you would find the chilazon, and basically you'd find it in Shevet Zvulun, if I remember correctly. They were the ship. Who is it? The ships were Zulun, right? So they basically would import like all the trails or export it. So if he says if you look by their harbors, you'll find they have such an industry of chilazon. So there are different like hints and to these things. But as I said, it's very it's not so poshut exactly how to determine this. Then what occurred? The Radziner Rebbe was convinced that it was critical to find. This is like in the 1800s. He was convinced that it's critical to find the chilazon in order to either bring in the geula or to meet the geula. The Radziner Rebbe, do you remember his name? Rav Gershon Hanoch Leiner. So, Leiner? I think L-E-I-N-E-R. Leiner. So, he basically felt that it was some form of a squid. And he said the squid's secretions were black. And he was able, with a lot of work and a lot of time, a lot of effort, to convert this secretion from the squid into a blue dye. Have anyone ever seen here the Ritziner Tcheles on anybody? Have you ever seen it? No? Okay, it's a deep blue. It's this beautiful, deep, deep blue. And when you see it, you say, wow, this is, you know, this is it. Couple of problems. Number one, as I mentioned, the Gemara says, and the Rambam records this, that it has to adhere. Okay, it's not, it can't be something that will basically run. If you see anyone who's wearing the Ritziner Tcheles, you will notice that where their tzitzis is wrapped around the corner, comes through the hole on the corner of their tzitzis, you will notice blue streaks. Okay, it runs. It runs. Number two, there is a lot of additives. It's almost like you didn't really need the black secretion from the squid. There was enough additives in there without it to make it a blue dye. So there were a lot of people who had a problem with this, particularly one of them who had the major attack against the Ritziner. The Ritziner had like a correspondence with many poskim. Among them, he had it with the Beis Halevi. And the Beis Halevi writes to him, and the original letter, unfortunately, was lost. But the Ritziner tells us in his writings what the Beis Halevi said. So it's secondhand. And what he says is that the Beis Halevi was arguing that there is a negative mesora against the squid. Why? Because the Beis Halevi says, listen, we lost the chilazon. That's the assumption. This squid that you found, he says to the Ritziner, everyone knew about. It's been around forever, and we've seen it. We knew about this squid, and we knew about its secretions. The fact that no one used it to make tcheles up until now is a raya. It's a mesora that this is the wrong thing. He says there's a mesora, clearly a negative mesora against the squid. The Ritziner says, no, it's not a negative mesora. People didn't know how to do it. Just because it's been around doesn't mean that everyone would know how to do it. I found the way to do it. It's not a problem. But that was the Beis Halevi's taina. Later on, Rav Herzog, Yitzchak Herzog, the chief rabbi of Israel. He was the first chief rabbi of the state of Israel. He had a PhD, if I remember correctly, in biology or life science or something like that. And his thesis, his PhD dissertation was on tcheles. And in it, he basically argued against the Ritziner, saying that it seems that it's not a squid, but it should be something that should have a shell around it, some type of shellfish. Part of his raya was the raya in Shabbos that I talked to you about, it was clear that you broke. It seems from the Mishnayos where there's some malachas that you're breaking through the shell. He was convinced of this. Yeah.
How could anybody who's trained by the correct animal? How could they possibly just say with any certainty that they found the right thing?
It's a good question.
How could you ignore all the other shit to it?
Yes.
It seems like the Ritziner just kind of arbitrarily just picked the squid.
Right. He's going with the Rambam. The Rambam sounds like black secretions, and he was able to do it. And he converted. And he made it. Like he figured, like he's following the Rambam. He did. He actually accomplished it, and that's it. You know. You're right. I mean, listen, Rav Herzog. You know, he wasn't 100% certain. He first of all, he had problems with Ritziner because he felt that it has to have a shell. He said that. What else? He said that your tcheles runs, it doesn't adhere, so it can't be. So the Ritziner, actually, so Rav Herzog became convinced after a lot of analysis that it really was the Murex trunculus. The Murex is the shellfish that depending on which shores of the Mediterranean is either found in great masses, in great numbers, or is very rare, depending again on the which shores. But the Rav Herzog basically felt that it was the Murex. The murex happens. It's interesting that when it is a shellfish, when you do have to puncture the external shell to get to a sac that's within, and when you puncture that sac, the liquid that comes out of it is clear. But then as it hits the air with light and oxygen, it begins to change colors in front of your eyes. And it eventually goes to like all the colors of the rainbow. And then it also hits blue. Problem is, it keeps on going. It changes to purple. So the Rav Herzog was really stuck. He said, I thought it was the murex. I could have, I was convinced that the murex should be it. There was all sorts of archaeological evidence that he was employing. If you look in the area of Zvulun, there's a lot, the murexes were showing up a lot. There's a lot of that where Tzchelis industry was supposedly found in Israel. They found a lot of the murexes, but he couldn't figure out a way to get it to be blue. So he gave up on that, and he said, okay, it's got to be something else. And so Rav Herzog said, in the end, that he thinks the chilazon is a fish, is a type of a sea creature called the Janthino, Janthina, the Janthina. So what's this Janthina? This Janthina is this creature that floats on the water, and if there are major storms, so it's like blown onto the shores, and it gives off a dye that just basically dyes the whole beach blue. Okay, the sand on the beach is dyed blue when it hits the shore. So he said that maybe it's that. The only problem was that when he tried processing this, when Rav Herzog tried to process it into actual tchelas, it always came out brown. He couldn't get it to stay blue. And he never was able to, in fact, make tchelas. Okay, the Radziner at least put it on, he produced blue tzitzit strings. Rav Herzog was never able to produce blue tzitzit string from the Janthina. There's somebody today, I don't know his name, but he claims that he has been successful in making the Janthina tcheles. He has some website, but on the other hand, he's never really produced it. He's never shown it to anybody. He's very secretive, and I don't know. As far as I know, he's never really brought it out into public. So no one knows what's going on over there. A little while later, this is now already in the 1960s and 70s, there was a... what's his name? No, before him. He's into dyes. He's into the... His name is Dr. Zeiderman. There's a Dr. Zeiderman. I forget his first name. There's a Dr. Zeiderman who became very interested in this whole discussion, and he was convinced that Herzog was correct, but with his original assertion that... that it was the murex, okay, murex trunculus. But what about the claim? What about the problem that was facing Herzog? That every time he tried to do it, what happened? What did he get? Purple at the end. So Dr. Zeiderman resolved the problem, how? By saying he now is convinced that what color is tchelas?
Purple.
So that's how he resolved that problem. But most people didn't buy into that. They didn't. They didn't like the answer. A number of years later, this was, I think, in 1985, there was a Dr. Tevgar who became aware of a... It's Rabbi Tevgar. Became aware of two other doctors in Israel that were involved in researching the dye industry and dyes. And these two doctors... Some people call it chance, other people call it Hashgachas Hashem. We're looking at the murex and the murex dyeing properties. And as I said, the murex is always ending up, it went from clear through different colors, hitting blue, but kept on going to purple. But these two doctors, when in their research, they one day left the dye out on a shelf in the sun. Much longer than they had wanted to, much longer than they normally did in their trials. It happened. And lo and behold, the exposure to the sun altered the state of this mixture. It apparently released a bromine atom in the that's the chemistry. Don't ask me too much more about that chemistry, but it apparently released a bromine atom, and it was blue. It was beautiful blue tchelis. And Rabbi Tevgar began to work on this, and he was joined by Dr. Ari Greenspan. I'm going to forget the rest of the names. Who else is it? Help me out. You guys know? There's someone. Who is it? Sturman, Baruch Sturman, and
Guberman.
And Guberman, right? Guberman's son is here, right?
Yeah, he's
here. So. Okay, Guberman's son is here, right? So he's one.
Shirbet.
So anyway, they joined up with Rabbi Tevgar to make Amutah Petil Tchelet. And basically, they began to produce this Tchelet based on what he discovered. And they began to produce. Now, what happened with this Tchelet, we'll talk about more. I'm sorry, we're going to have to stop, but I have to go to the wedding. Thank you. Okay, but Bez Hashem, next week at the normal time, we'll finish up the topic of Tchelis. Okay, Erev Tov. Right. Also, you realize there's no shiur.